Hello, my name is Amanda, and welcome to This Organized Home.
Hello, it is fantastic to have you all here today. I'm really excited to share this episode with the beautiful Jessica. We talk about really everything from budgeting tactics to how organizing and decluttering your home can be such a positive adventure to the different parenting strategies and ideas that she uses in her home to help raise her teenager. I'm so excited to share this episode with you, and I hope you get as much enjoyment out of it as what we have. Thank you.
Hi, Jess. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, I'm very excited to be here today.
I'm excited that we get to do this in person and see your beautiful face.
I've been working. I have to look appropriate for my clients.
Now, have you had your water?
I'm having it now.
Do you try to make sure you take care of yourself during the day?
I do. In my room where I work, I have my big 1 liter bottle of water that I'm constantly trying to drink.
Yeah. Is that how you start your day, with like a liter in the morning?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have it throughout when I'm working with clients, because a lot of time I'm back to back with clients, so I don't get the break to come out and have a drink or have something to eat. So I've got to have it in there with me.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself? Who are you? What do you do?
Okay, so yeah, I'm Jessica. I am from the Frugal Fiancé Instagram account. I'm 27. I work at home. I'm a nail technician. I am engaged to my beautiful, beautiful fiancé, Darren. I don't share what he does for work. Everyone always asks me, but I do not share that. Yeah. We're finally getting married this November. We're getting married on our 14-year anniversary.
Beautiful.
And we have got one little munchkin together. We have got Isabel, who is 12, just started high school this year. Yeah. So I'm still emotional, and like I still feel like I'm not prepared for it.
Yeah.
Even though she is in high school already.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't seem real.
How have you found that transition from primary school to high school?
It's just like, I felt like it was easy. I didn't have any big issues. She didn't have any big issues. It's just emotionally, I feel like I'm not ready for it, because she's growing up.
Yeah.
And I also remember what I was like in high school, and I'm not ready for that yet. So it's just, emotionally, I'm not dealing with it, because I don't want her to grow up. I want her to keep being my little baby forever.
I think we're all like that, aren't we? We love our babies forever, forever. We want them to get old, then they get old, and we're like, oh, why are you getting old?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So do you work full-time, part-time as a nail tech?
Pretty much full-time hours now. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you consolidate your hours into like 1 days or a few days a week?
I do 4.5 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's excellent. And this is only a new endeavor, is it? Or reasonably new?
I mean, I've been a qualified nail technician for 3.5 years, but I was also working in retail. So I was only doing nails like one, maybe two days a week. And I'd only have like one or two clients.
Yeah.
But then where I was working closed down, I choose to take the redundancy offered. And then after that, I was looking for work elsewhere, and I just wasn't happy with what days, what hours they wanted, how it would affect us. So I just turned around and said, you know what, let's do it. Let's go forward. And I decided to start my own business doing full time.
That's so good. So what did you do in particular to kind of advertise yourself or to get more people?
I was actually really lucky in the sense that a lot of my clients are word of mouth from other clients and friends, their work colleagues.
Yeah.
So I don't actually advertise that much. Yeah. When I first started, even when I was training for it, I would advertise on Facebook on like buy, swap and sell and have really cheap prices. And even doing that, I was constantly booked out.
Yeah.
So I actually got lucky really early on.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's kind of get into it, because I think the math, 27, and how old is?
She's 12.
She's 12.
Yes.
So being a relatively young mum when you had Izzy, can you bring us all back to that time?
Yeah, so do we want to get like really into it?
I think there's a difference. Okay, so insightful. If you, as long as what you're willing to share.
So from a really young age, I actually had a really, really bad period pains.
Yeah.
And it started with when I was 13, my doctor put me on the pill to control my period. And he actually had me skip in my period on it because it was so severe. Yeah. And obviously being in high school, being like sleeping over at your friend's house and going over to, you know, Darren's house, I missed a pill. And, you know, I was actually at my mum's house one weekend and we were eating Chinese food and like I lifted my shirt up and I was like rubbing my belly because I was like, oh my God, like I'm so full. Like I just ate so much. And with some pregnant women, they can get like that line, that shadow line down their belly. Well, my mum saw that on me and she kind of turned around. She's like, you know, do we need to go get a pregnancy test? And I was like, it might be a good thing. And she didn't freak out. She didn't go off at me. She didn't yell at me. She was supportive. And then the next day we went out and did a pregnancy test and it came up positive. And I crawled in my mum's lap and I bawled my eyes out. So then after that, we quickly rushed down to the medical center. They did a blood test and the nurse, I'll never forget the nurse, she put a rush on it. She put like an emergency rush on it. So the next morning we got the results.
Yeah.
It came up positive. And the doctor who actually told me my results was actually my gynecologist and obstetrician. And my mum turned around. She was like, can you just do an exam to feel where she's at?
Yeah.
So he touched my stomach and he said, yeah, I put you around 18 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was 18 weeks along already.
Yeah. And how old were you?
15.
And is that how old you were when you had Izzy or were your birthday surpassed?
Yep.
Oh, you're a trooper.
Mm-hmm.
An absolute trooper.
Yeah. And then I think it was the next day we quickly got rushed in to do an ultrasound and they confirmed I was at the 18 week. And then that night, I felt her move.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know it was Izzy a girl?
They didn't know. They wouldn't confirm it at that ultrasound. Yeah. So we had to wait and go to another one. We're just like, can you tell us? And like, we can't. We're just here to confirm it. And I was like, oh, okay then. So, yeah, we did find out a few weeks later that she was a girl and I was happy because I was a girl.
Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls, exactly.
How did you go with your partner?
Both of us were freaking out. Both of us were upset about it. But when you realize that you're 18 weeks pregnant, obviously you're too far along to get an abortion, which admittedly that was the first thought of pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
And then we found that there was actually a place up in Sydney that did do abortions up until 21 weeks. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that whatsoever. Yeah. And then me and Darren kind of thought about, okay, what about adoption? I was like, yeah, I can't do that. So, like, we're upset about it, obviously, but we also came to terms with it very quickly because we're like, well, this is just how it's going to be now.
Yeah.
So I think it took a while for us to actually be excited and happy about it. Like, it took quite a while. I think we were just in shock for quite a long time. And I think it took Darren a bit longer to be excited and happy about it, which, like, you have to understand that as 15 and 16-year-olds, of course. But yeah, it was pretty much as soon as I started to really pop and you could actually tell I was pregnant, I think that's when the excitement started to settle in for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you continue school?
I continued up until I started to show, but like high school students are brutal.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to put myself out there and be called 10 million names and be
that
treated
teen mom,
exactly
very common type.
And then at that time that Teen Mom TV show had come out.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I don't want to do it. So I left school and then I started doing it through correspondence.
Beautiful.
And then I was doing it full-time through correspondence, and then once I had Isabel I was like, I can't do it full-time. I can't, it's too difficult. And then eventually I stopped doing it by correspondence because it was just, it's too much. It's too hard trying to have a newborn baby and do school full time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So did you stay at home with your mum when Izzy was young?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Darren still weren't living together at this place. We're together every single night. Most of the time we're at my mum's house.
Yeah.
And then every so often would go spend a few nights at his house. Yeah. But yeah, we're together every night, but we're at my mum's house.
So when it came to surviving those, especially those first few early weeks, would you say your mum was like pivotal, or you were just, you rocked it, you had it on your own?
I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
Like, I never tried to pawn it off to my mum, and like my sister was also living with us as well. I never tried to pawn it off for them to do it because I was tired or I'm just not having a good day.
Yeah.
I was always up and doing what I had to do, but I also had that support of my mum and sister there with me. So it's definitely a bit of both.
Wow. So did you end up going back to school or work afterwards with
Ethan? No, I didn't go back to work until she was almost four.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I started back at work twice. Well, I started at one day, and then I put her in daycare one day because
we need a day.
Me and her were like, we were never separated. We were together every single day. Like, I was a stay-at-home mum with her, and I was like, her separation anxiety isn't good, and we need to get ready for this for when she goes to primary school. So I put her in one day, and then my sister came and said, "Hey, do you want to work?" And I was like, "Okay." So then I started working, put her in another day, ended up working the second day, put her in another day. And I was like, I just want one day to myself. Well, I ended up working that third day as well. And then I think when she was four, just the year before she was going to primary school, I was like, I'm going to put her in full time and do a routine so she can get used to it prior to primary school. And that's when I started working almost full time hours in hospitality.
Wow.
I was doing day shifts and night shifts.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You are super, like superwoman.
You just do it. It has to get done, so you do it.
Yeah, that's it. So what would you say is the best thing now that you were such a young mom, inverted commas, what would you say upon reflection you really enjoyed?
I think that I can just relate to Isabel so much more. I mean, I don't know. I can't compare it because I can't compare how I relate to my daughter compared to, you know, a 31-year-old mother could compare to their daughter. But I just feel like because I'm at that younger age, I can still have that, I don't know, just that friendly banter. It's a different relationship. I mean, I'm not saying I'm friends with her. I'm her mother, obviously. Yeah. But you just have that, you can just relate to them more, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. How have you, when it comes to, I guess, that friend, like social media, how have you found that balance with raising your beautiful young daughter and being on social media yourself, her seeing you being on social media, wanting to be on social media?
So she loves me on social media. She actually gets really excited. So we have a YouTube channel. I've only got two videos up YouTube.
I'll put it in the show notes.
And, and she's like, "Oh my God, you're going to be a YouTuber. You're going to do this more. Can I be in the YouTube video? This is so fun." I'm like, I'm not a YouTuber, but like, don't get this twisted. Like, I only put up our camping trip and we went up and did like a rainforest trip. I'm like, they're just for fun.
Yeah.
And so she loves that I'm on social media,
but
she's also recently got on social media.
Yeah.
And I think as any parent, it's nerve-wracking when children have social media.
Susceptible to it all.
But I also, like, I have the mindset that she's 12 years old. Why does she need Instagram? Why does she need Snapchat? But then it's also like, she's in high school now. They need to get that responsibility. I know they're still children, but you need to stop thinking of them as that kid and you need to think of them, okay, well, they're a high school age now. Like, you need to give them that more leeway.
So do you have any parenting tips with what you do in terms of supervision, monitoring?
I think you need to make a deal with them. And if you let them have any social media, you turn around and say, "You can have it. I will know your password and I will check it whenever I feel like it." And it's not because I don't trust her or parents don't trust their kids. It's kids do stupid things. Kids make mistakes. There's also, there's creeps out there on it as well. So you want to make sure that nothing is happening that they don't know.
Yeah.
Or if they are doing something that, you know, they shouldn't be and they're just thinking, "Oh, you know, my friends are doing it." You're like, no, that's not happening. That's not going on. So with all of her social media, she's got Snapchat, Instagram, and she's got TikTok. She's only allowed to add people that she knows.
Yeah.
She is only allowed to post things that she knows that we would approve of, and we have to know her passwords and we check on it whenever we want. Same with her text messaging with her friends. We check on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the important thing. If you give your kids social media and you let them have that, You just need to monitor it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I know there are a lot of people out there needing support and encouragement when it comes to trying to supervise their kids with this technology. It's not going away.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of parents freak out because they're like, oh my God, they've sent this message. They've done this. What is wrong? Like, why are they doing this? I think parents need to give themselves a break and realize that, yeah, you're not happy with it, but there's a lot of other kids out there that are doing the exact same thing. And as much as we hate it, it's normal.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a matter of monitoring it and make sure it doesn't get out of hand.
Absolutely. All right, okay. So when Izzy was starting school,
mm-hmm.
so we're talking like primary school age,
mm-hmm.
how did you and your partner work out the logistics, driving her to school on time, picking her up from school?
Mm-hmm.
Was there any one member of the family in particular who had that responsibility?
Oh my God, yeah. So it was me, Darren, and Darren's dad.
Yeah.
So I would always drop her off at school because Darren does a lot of shift work and he does a lot of night work. So he would always be really tired in the morning.
Yeah.
He might get home at 3 a.m. I'm like, I'm not going to wake you up at 8:30 to drop her off at school.
Yeah.
So I would always drop her off at school and then pick up. When I was in hospitality, I used to always finish at 2:30. So I would have enough time to quickly leave and get to her school.
Yeah.
On the days where I would finish later and Darren wasn't home and he was already at work, we would call Darren's father and he would always go and pick her up. But then with Darren's work, there are certain shifts, like the more later shifts in the evening that used to suit us better.
Yeah.
So he would try at work to get those shifts. So when I was, this was more so when I was working in retail because I would be working later, he would start later at work so he could pick her up at school and that way we didn't have to rely on paying for after school care fees.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when neither of us could do it, that's when we'd get Darren's dad to come in.
Oh, that's so good having that support.
Yeah, and like Darren's dad never cared. Like I could ask him, I could call him up right now and be like, hey, like I need you to pick Izzy up the next 2 weeks. And he'd be like, okay, that's fine. Like he never mind. He was always lovely about it, which was a lifesaver.
So Izzy is really quite athletic, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
How have you managed the extracurricular?
So she was obsessed with gymnastics and she was going 6 hours a week, twice a week. She'll do 3 hour classes. And it got to the point where she was starting to get tired of it because she felt like she was missing out on hanging out with her friends after school. She was at that age where hanging out with her friends is more fun.
Yeah.
And she had said for a while she wanted to leave. And I said, just continue to do this year and then we'll reevaluate at the end of the year. And at the end of the year, they turned around and said, hey, we want to move you up a level. You need to come an extra day a week. So that would be 3 days a week. And it's a 30-minute drive there as well. So that's like 4 hours out of my evening 3 times a week. Like it's a lot to do.
Absolutely.
But she turned around and she's like, I don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. So she stopped doing gymnastics, which just it was like I was upset about it because she was good. She was really good. But I also don't want to be that parent that pushes their kids to do something that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
So she doesn't do anything out of school now, but whenever they've got activities in school, she's always there. Like she was telling me she signed up for league tag, soccer. She's signed up for, I think netball as well. She signed up for like 4 different sports to do in school.
Wow.
And I turned around and said to her, I said, you're only doing that to get out of class. And she laughed at me over it. But yeah, like my family grew up quite athletic. We always were doing a lot. Yeah. So I think it's just natural for her to do it as well.
Yeah, perfect.
So she loves it.
So you never had that rule of thumb of one activity per week?
No.
Yeah. How did you go with the finances? Because like gymnastics isn't...
It's expensive.
The annual fee, the classes themselves. I know my daughter's gymnastics class costs about $24. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very expensive. And where she was going, you had to pay for the entire term. So if you paid before the term started, you'll get a discount. And then the government has done that thing where you can get that $100. Yeah, so I also used that. But it was just a matter of like my spare money that I was doing when I was doing nails, I would pay with her gymnastics with that fee. So... Yeah. I'll just have like a little envelope and every time I'd get money, I'll just put it in there. And then by the end of the term, I'll just go in and pay for the next term.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. So one child mm-hmm. and you're beautifully happy having one child. You've spoken about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to ask you this question because can you elaborate to everyone just how that beautiful contentment that you have with one gorgeous babe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know there are so many of us out there who feel like they need to have more,
mm-hmm.
To fit into the world where everyone's always having more,
mm-hmm.
or trying to strive for more. And we're talking about more kids, more babies. Mm-hmm. Was there a certain moment for you that made you just realize you're done? You're so happy, or are you done?
Like, yeah, we're done. We are so done. The only babies I want in my future is fur babies.
Yeah.
I actually ummed and ahmed over it for quite a few years. So after I had Isabel, I actually had extremely bad depression for quite a few years, and emotionally, mentally, as well as financially, we were not ready for another child whatsoever. And because my depression was so bad, that actually put Darren off having any other kids, yeah. because of, like, it was bad.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't want you to go back to that point again. And I think we got quite scared that it would happen again. And yeah, we just, it was a horrible, horrible time.
Yeah. So, was it just you and your relationship? You weren't nice, inverted commas, nice. Like, it was just, you weren't happy with this yourself, your self-esteem.
It was just everything. I wasn't myself. Like, things that I'd laugh at before, I wouldn't laugh at. I didn't find humor. I didn't find enjoyment. I was actually starting to get to the point where, like, I would get really bad anxiety leaving the house. Yeah. And I would just, yeah, it was horrible. And
especially with a young kid in tow.
Yeah, exactly. And at this point, like, I didn't have my license. So I was stuck inside a house all the time. And, like, all of everyone else, my siblings, my family, they all worked. So I couldn't rely on them to come and get me and take me out. And with the depression, with, like, I didn't want to leave the house, so I didn't want to go and take her to the park, because it just,
you don't know why.
You don't want to. So that was the biggest reason for a lot of years why we didn't want to have any more kids. And then it got to the point where, you know, I started to get over my depression, and mentally I started to get better and healthier. And then financially, we started to get a little bit more comfortable. And then Darren still wasn't ready. And at this point, I was like, do I? I'm not sure. Darren still at this point, he was like, no, it's not happening. And then it finally got to be probably only like the last. And during all of this, I was like, no, I don't want any more. Because I knew if I said, oh, yeah, I want another one, everyone would be like, yeah, yeah, have another one. Yeah. So it's only probably been like the last maybe 4 years where I felt, okay, mentally I know I could handle another one. Emotionally, I know that I could. Financially, we both knew that we could. But then it also got to the point where it was like, I don't think we want another one. I like my life. I like that I have freedom. I like that I don't have to get up and do the night feeds and pack a nappy bag and make sure I have this. I can just get in the car and go. And it was easy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think I want to go back to that. And then it was also like, well, Isabel's, you know, she's getting older now. So this was around when she was like 9 or 10, you know, 8 to 10. I was like, if I did have another baby right now, she would become the babysitter. I'll be like, Izzy, play with your brother or sister while I vacuum. Izzy, can you just watch your brother while I get dinner ready? Izzy, can you just do this? And like, you're not purposely doing it. But I feel like when you have such a big age gap in the siblings, I feel like it would be a natural thing for you expecting them to help.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't purposely be like, yeah, okay, go change their nappy. Go do this. Go do this. It would be like, oh, can you just help me out while maternal. I do this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think that's fair on her. Yeah. And then it's just, I don't know. I just came to the realization that I like her life as it is.
It's nice being decisive, isn't it?
Yeah. I like it as it is. I like that it's just us three. I like that we're small and that we're a close family. And then I woke up one day and I was like, yep, that's it. Don't want to have any more kids. And I just accepted it. I was happy with that decision.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. So how has parenting changed your life? Quite dramatically when you were so young, but I guess if you look at it, 12 years of parenting behind you now.
It's kind of hard to answer that because I had her so young.
Yeah.
I don't really know how it has changed my life because I hadn't experienced my life.
Yeah.
So I can't really, it's hard to answer that, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. I can totally understand that. So when it comes to your home life,
mm-hmm.
Do you and your partner have a set division of labor as to who does what in your home? Is someone always the one who does the washing? Is someone who does
I pretty much do everything inside.
Yeah.
Anything outside, that's all on him.
Yeah.
That's all on him. I don't want to mow. I don't want to do the pool. I don't want to weed, which admittedly I do have to help weed, which everyone knows that is my most hated thing. I hate weeding.
Yeah.
But inside the house, I do most of it.
Yeah.
Like if I turn around to him and I'm like, oh, can you vacuum and put the dishes away for me? Like he'll happily do it. I just have to ask him to do it. But it makes sense because I work at home. I'm home all the time. So it's just easier for me to do it all.
Yeah, beautiful. So when has that always happened in your – have you had to communicate throughout your – what, your 14 years mm-hmm. you guys have nearly been together? So things have changed mm-hmm. along the way. Did it take time to get to where you are now? Or has it just always been really calm and easy?
Yeah, it's been really easy between us. Like we've never had any big changes or big talks or anything like that. It's always just been pretty –
does one of you get stressed or anxious more than the other when it comes to something to do in the home?
I don't think stressed or anxious. Darren hates anything. Darren gets frustrated with the pool.
Yeah.
We have said that we would never rent or buy a house that had a pool. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So he hates anything to do with the pool.
Do you guys get use out of it as much as you think you
I don't. I'm a cat, so I really don't like the water that much. I typically only go in when either it's really hot, Izzy's begging me to go in, or we have like family get-togethers.
Yeah.
We really don't use it as much as we should, to be honest. But yeah, Darren hates anything to do with pool work, and I hate ironing with a passion. Like I get angry if I have to iron.
I know, me too. My mum would spend every single Sunday afternoon ironing.
Exactly. My mum used to do the same. Mm-hmm. I hate it with a passion. I have to do it. I have a full basket and everyone knows I'll go on my Instagram and I'll be like, oh, I got to do this. I got to do this. I have to do my ironing. And then it's 5 days later and I'm like, okay guys, I'm finally doing my ironing. Don't judge me. Like I hate it.
I only iron if we have to have the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll make sure I do it in the morning.
Yeah, but I hate ironing.
What about chores though with your daughter? Does she pitch in?
Yeah. So I make her do set things. So she has to take out the rubbish. She has to put away all of the clean dishes. I'll make her like scrub the toilet. She has to keep her room tidy. She has to do her own clothes. I won't fold and put away her clothes anymore purely because she wears something for 5 minutes and it goes in her dirty basket. And I have so many of her clothes. I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So I started to do that as a punishment for her to be like, you have to fold this up in there for 2 minutes. But if I'm having a big house clean up, I'm like, Izzy, can you come do the mirrors? Can you come vacuum this? Like, she'll help me do it.
Yeah.
But she, mostly it's just the rubbish, the dishes, and, like, the toilet and keeping her room clean.
Sounds like you guys have such a good relationship. Do you ever yell?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I feel sorry for my neighbours. I'm a yeller. More so at Isabel.
Yeah.
But she's starting to get that attitude.
Yeah.
And, like, she's had a really bad, like, she's not a bad kid or anything. She's, like, any normal kid. For about 2 years now, she's had that attitude. And probably in the last year, it's getting to the point where, like, I can't handle it. And I'll ask her to do something, like, 10 million times. And then she just speaks to me in, like, this snappy little bratty tone every single time.
Yeah.
And then I just take it and take it and take it. And then I just, like, snap it. Next thing, I'm screaming my head off. And I'm just like, whoops. But, yeah, I'm a yeller. I yell at Isabel.
Yeah. Have you always, when she was younger, do you remember what it was like when she had tantrums and...
No, not so much when she was younger.
Yeah.
I just used to ignore her tantrums.
Yeah.
When she was younger. I feel like parenting is so much easier when they're younger. It really is. I would happily go back to those toddler tantrums.
Oh, you can have two of mine at the moment. I had a massive episode yesterday with my son. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, I would take the toddler tantrums over the attitude.
Yeah.
I can't handle the attitude.
Seeing them change into someone, you're like, who is this?
Yeah. It's the attitude. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
So I would happily have the tantrums back any day.
So when it comes to – I'm trying to move on from the tantrums. Mm-hmm. When you guys have like a really good weekend – is your partner a shift worker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you guys get to spend much weekend time together?
There's no rhythm. Maybe not. Yeah. You've got no idea.
So if you do have a really good weekend together, what's something that you guys like to do as a couple or with the family? Sorry.
It really depends on the seasons a lot. Yeah. At the moment, our favourite thing to do is actually go house shopping at the display homes. That is our favourite thing to do at the moment. We all love it. Isabel walks into every single house and she's like, this is the one. This is my bedroom. I want my bedroom exactly like this. Mm. So our favourite thing to do is house shopping at the moment.
I love it too. It just depends, of doing that.
It just depends on the season and what's going on, but we don't have like a set thing that we love to do.
Are you guys an active family? Like, do you go to the beach? Because we're both in coastal, so.
We used to go to the beach all the time when we had Lily, but I feel like since we lost Lily, which was my beagle, we haven't been able to bring ourselves to go back to the beach because that's just what we did with her. Yeah. But before that, we're all at the beach like every week.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry about your puppy.
Ugh, I'm still heartbroken about it.
Are you going to get another dog soon?
When we buy and we're in our new house, that's when we want to.
Okay, well, before we get to, I can't wait to ask you all the financial questions, but before we get there, my last question when it comes to motherhood, family life, is what would you say, or do you think there is, a key to a happy, healthy home? Is there a balance?
I think communication. You really need to talk. Don't let it build. If there's something small that bothers you, you need to talk about it. Don't sit on it, because if it builds and builds and builds, it's worse.
Yeah.
So I think communication is everything.
Do you have a strict routine, especially with bedtimes and for Izzy? Or?
I mean, she has a certain bedtime, and Darren's a little bit more lenient on it, but I'm pretty strict with it because I want her to have a good sleep, especially before school.
And it affects their attitude. Yeah.
So bedtime, she has a set bedtime. At the moment, she keeps trying to push it later and later, which I'm trying to fight, but I think it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so finances.
Mm-hmm.
Within your living situation, being on a single income to maternity leave to starting up your own business, do you have any budgeting tactics that have worked really well for your family?
I think the biggest thing is, I mean, as ironic as it is, you need to stick to your budget. You need to write down every single cent of what it's going to cost you to survive.
Yeah.
And you need to see what can get cut out, what you're spending too much money on, and you need to really do your budget and stick to it, it's hard to stick to it, obviously, but you need to understand your budget. You need to understand your finances.
Yeah.
And if you understand your finances, then it will be easier for you to be able to budget and control that.
Do you have a certain method that you follow?
Not really.
No? Did you design your own?
So my mum actually came over and she did it on the computer on like a spreadsheet thing. Yeah. And she sat down with me and Darren and she wrote down our wages and she wrote down every single thing that we spend fortnightly, weekly. And then she gave us our spending money, our food money. And then she did it all on a chart for us. So we'll see at the end of the month, we've got this much money, at the end of six months, at the end of, 10 years. And she's wrote down so we could see where we could be. And I think it really helps when you can actually
visualize
how much money you could actually be wasting and how much money you could actually be saving and spending.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it came to increasing your work hours, was that a motivation to save or a motivation to be debt-free? What was that?
That came, me increasing my hours more so came because we want to save for the house.
Yeah.
So I wanted to earn more income for the house.
Yeah.
So that's why my hours were increased.
So can you define to us what you think frugal, or what is frugal to you? What is the word frugal? How do you live frugally? Do you live 100% frugal?
I don't think I'm sure there is people that do live out there 100% frugal, but I think, to me, being frugal is making the most of your money.
Yeah.
And again, really understanding your money and where it's going and how it's going.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's like a negative connotation with the word frugal?
Yes. So I think that people, when you hear frugal, you think that they are tight ass. They don't spend money. They don't do this, they do everything super, super cheap. It's like that show, like Super Cheap Skates or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what people think frugal is. I'm frugal so I can have savings, so I can pay off my debt, and so I can have a budget and I can have money that I can spend. And, you know, me being – my frugal could be your splurging, or my frugal could be someone's, like, every single day life. Not one person's frugal is the same as every person's frugal.
Yeah.
And I think everyone has got different meanings and understandings of what it is.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of the time it's conscious mm-hmm. purchases.
Yeah, definitely.
Rather than, I mean, just conscious spending. So you are aware of your intake.
Yeah, exactly. You need to be aware of where your money is going, how you're spending your money, and how you was like, you just need to understand how much money you have, where it's going, and why is it going there.
Yeah. So, well, one area where we spend money mm-hmm. is groceries.
Yes.
And I think you and I are pretty much in the same boat. We love to watch others' grocery hauls.
I love it. I get so excited when people do it. I've even before I started Instagram, I used to go on YouTube and watch like grocery hauls and like what's in my fridge, what's in my pantry. Like I've always yeah. loved it.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I do.
I think yours are to be really admired. So can you tell everyone about your experiences when it comes to shopping? Do you do weekly, monthly? And I guess why do you think people like this whole grocery haul?
I tend to do weekly shopping. Sometimes yep. I'm busy and I don't get out, and I do fortnightly, which is perfect because I stockpile and I'm a hoarder. So I tend to like have a backup of everything anyways.
Yep.
But most of the time I do weekly. And I mean, my grocery budget is the one thing that like has the most fluctuation. Like someone's,
do you mind sharing how?
Yeah, so mine is in between 100 and 150.
Yeah.
There might be weeks where I spend 190 and I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
Does it roll over if you don't reach
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah, so when was it? Last week? When did I go grocery shopping? I can't remember now. But I didn't go grocery shopping 1 week, so I went fortnightly. So then when I did go grocery shopping, I had double the budget for it. So yeah. it still works out fine.
When you don't go that 1 week, do you have to run in and get milk or bread?
I normally just go to the corner store and get like fresh fruit and bread.
Yeah.
That's so pretty much it.
And that comes out of your budget still?
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep, that still comes out of it.
Yeah.
But I think people like seeing what people buy at the grocery store because it, number one, I think it actually gives them inspiration yeah. of what things that they can try. Like the amount of messages I get after I do a grocery haul being like, oh, I went and bought this because you suggested it, or I finally tried this, I love it, thank you so much. So I think people like it to get ideas and inspiration. But yeah. I also think it's just people are really like nosy in general. So you get to see in their life because they're sharing it and you just enjoy it.
So do you guys meal plan? Do you have like a monthly meal plan you follow or a weekly meal plan?
When I'm prepared, I'll do weekly. When I'm really, really prepared, I'll write out a loose month guide of just things that I've got in my cupboard and pantry that I can get multiple meals out that I can use in the month off.
Love that. Yeah.
But that's only like a very, very loose guide. And even with like my weekly meal plans, there's still areas where I can play and change my mind on things.
Yeah. Do you find that that is influenced when you watch a haul, someone's grocery shop?
Not with me. It's purely just if I actually have got time and have put the effort, and yeah. if I actually check in my cupboard and see what I have and what I've got this, and oh, I really feel like this.
Yeah.
But I find that when I do meal plan, I do tend to cook more, as opposed to the weeks where I don't meal plan, I'm just like, oh, we'll just have toasted sandwiches, or we'll just have, you know, this for dinner. Whereas if I do my meal plan, I'll commit to it more and I'll actually pretty much cook the entire week. Normally one or two nights I'll have leftovers.
Do you guys have takeout?
Every so often we do. I mean, we don't really have like a certain night for takeout. Like I know people have got like takeaway
like Friday nights
stuff, or something yeah. like that. We don't really have a routine like that. It's some nights I'm just like, I do not want to cook. I do not want to do dishes. Either you can cook, like I'll say to Darren, either you can cook and you can do the dishes, or we'll just go out and buy something. Yeah. So, I mean, we could get takeout like twice in a week and then we might not get it for 3 weeks, or we could get it, you know, every single week for 3 weeks. We don't really have a routine with it. It is what it is.
That's so nice being flexible with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys eat your dinners together as a family?
Me and Izzy do.
Yeah. Every day?
Most nights. Admittedly, there's some nights where she's like, oh my God, like, can I sit down in the lounge room? Like, I really, really don't want to watch this. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. But with hubby doing shift work, I think it's actually been really bad with him lately. I think maybe in like the last 2 months, we've actually only sat down and had dinner together while he's been working, not on his days off, like maybe 3 times.
Yeah.
So that's getting to me lately because he's been working earlier than what he normally does.
Yeah.
So normally he starts around in between 5 and 7 most of the time. So we always get time for dinner together. But he's been working earlier the last like 2 months and it's really starting to get to me and him as well. Like we really miss sitting down and having dinner together.
Yeah.
So it's like when he gets home, if I'm still awake, I'll come out and I'll start helping him get his dinner ready and things like that when he gets home from work. Or if he gets home too late,
yeah,
I'll just hear him in the kitchen.
Does he go grocery shopping with you?
He'll come with me. A lot of the time we actually will put it off until he's got a day off or he can go with me in the day.
Okay, do you find grocery shopping with your partner, male or female, is it a detriment or is it a benefit?
It's a benefit for us.
Yeah.
It's good. Oh my God, I don't like taking Isabel grocery shopping. That's a nightmare. That is not a good thing to do. But yeah, me and hubby, okay, technically we're engaged, but I just call him hubby. Yeah, we've always gone together. Yeah. We typically always, I can't remember the last time I've gone grocery shopping by myself.
Is he trying to be cheeky, I guess, and throw the M&Ms in the shopping basket type? Or is that you?
That's me.
So that's what my husband does. Before I know, go to check out, there's a bunch of these things in there. And I said to him, it's not my list.
Yeah, no, that's me. I'm that person.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's me.
So when it with budgeting and looking at your finances and being a parent, were you prepared for parenting to actually affect budgeting? Has it affected your budget from all of these years? Has it changed, evolved? How have you incorporated parenting into your budget, or has it just always been there?
I feel like, again, it's so different to me because I had her so young. It's just, it's always been there for us.
Do you remember the last nappy you ever had to buy?
Oh my God, no. If you said change, I would have said on Sunday because I changed my niece's nappy, but buy?
Yeah.
I've got no idea. Yeah. I can't remember that whatsoever.
Yeah.
No.
Oh my goodness. So when it comes to, I guess, well then, with this question, how do you incorporate parenting things that a young adult that she needs in that may not be the most affordable? How do you guys do a certain, do you save for it? I don't know what she into these days. Like, do you buy her a phone or?
Yeah, so most of the time with really big things, like she got, what did we buy her that was really expensive for Christmas? I mean, Christmas this year was ridiculously expensive because we got her stuff that was multi-purpose for school. So this year she got like an Apple computer. She got like Vans, high tops. That's the large
items, yeah.
So we knew that we're going to buy her something that was quite expensive. So we were purposely saving and putting money away for that.
Yeah.
But there's also weeks where she turns around, she's like, oh, Mom, I have a hole in my shoes. I need to go and buy new school shoes. And then it's like, you don't plan for that. And you're like, okay, crap, let's go spend $120 on these freaking shoes that you want for school.
Yeah.
But most of the time with like really big things, we're aware that we need it. So we do plan and put money away for it.
Yeah. So you're just saving up for it in the future. Is there anything that's really expensive, the parenting that you've experienced, finances?
Definitely. Like the sports.
Yeah.
Sports. And then as they get older, the technology, because all of them want an iPhone, all of them want like the little, what are the headphones?
AirPods.
Yeah. They want the AirPods. They want all of like the branded shoes and clothes. So as they get older, it gets more expensive because they want all of the really popular stuff that's on social media.
Do you have a certain way in which you manage that with your daughter? Like the shoes or the branded tops and...
So she understands the value of money because she gets pocket money.
Yeah.
And she realizes how quickly money can go and how little money can get you.
Yeah.
So as long as she understands how much we are actually spending and how, if she, like, do you actually realize how much these things are actually worth?
Yeah.
As long as she respects that, you know, we're fine with it.
Do you mind disclosing how much pocket money she gets? Does she have to, do a chore?
Oh, she doesn't do a chore. She doesn't get them. If her added, the other week she only got half her pocket money because she had ridiculous attitudes. So she gets $10 a week. Yeah. If she does extra jobs that aren't typically within her chores, she'll get extra money for it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. It's a really good system to have. With I've noticed that you do a fair bit of Facebook marketplace buying, selling.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people who want to do that,
mm-hmm.
but they just get a bit obstinate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips?
Yeah, have patience.
Yeah.
Because you will get people that waste your time.
Yeah. And try to negotiate.
Oh, the negotiations are ridiculous. Like, you'll get people that genuinely try to negotiate. And, like, I'm trying to sell something off my dad's and I have it listed for $200. And it's been up there for quite a while now. And this one guy keeps coming back at $100. And he does it, and he doesn't even say, hey, like, are you willing to negotiate? Would you take this much? The first thing he writes is $100.
Yeah.
And he does it all the time. So I just write back, nah, and I delete the conversation.
Okay.
So you need to have patience.
Yeah.
And you need to be willing to actually put the time in and prepare to get stuffed around.
Yeah.
But the most annoying thing about it is that you list it. You list how much, how used it is, where pickup is, what condition it is. You list every single thing that is necessary. And then people ask you, where are you located? Or is this used? Or what size is this? And it's just like, read the freaking ad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's frustrating, but it's still worth it though.
It's worth it because you get that money. So are you trying to simplify your life?
Mm-hmm.
Minimalism? Do you want to share everyone about?
Definitely not. I wouldn't go quite that far.
Yeah.
Just
decluttering.
It's more decluttering and getting rid of things that I don't need.
Yeah.
And I feel like over time, you just fill your house with crap.
Yeah.
And definitely over the last probably 2 years, we've been doing a lot of like slowly emptying the house. And it's like, just say the wardrobe, like I'll empty like 4 big bags of clothes and I'll go donate them. And then I go shopping and then I might put another bag in there. And then like, it's just, I have a habit of decluttering and then I'll go buy something and then I'll put it back in.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's also hard when you have a partner that doesn't want to get rid of as much stuff. Like in my linen cupboard, I think I've got like 6 spare pillows and 2 spare doonas. And I'm like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't even feel like I need any spare pillow. So I would get rid of all of that. Darren doesn't want to, so you just have to keep it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, yeah, I feel like after what, like going on Instagram and seeing how simple people's houses and how there's no clutter, I've taken inspiration that, okay, I actually want less clutter. I don't want as much stuff on my bench. I don't want as much stuff on my dresser. But I would never be to the point where a lot of these people are because
yeah.
I still like a little bit.
Absolutely. I remember once you posted at those $2 stores where there's little tiny little knick-knack jars.
Oh, yeah, I still want them. I still want them.
They're the most cutest things in the world, but you will never really use them.
If it's especially the one thing that is my weakness is anything to do with a kitchen. If there's any serveware, if there's any glassware, if there's any cookware, I'm like, I don't have a purpose for it, but I want it in case.
Yeah.
And then we had like a big brunch for, I don't know, Australia Day or something. I can't even remember what it was. And we did like a massive feast for everyone. And I was like, those little sauce cups thing dishes. I was like, they would have been perfect to serve maple syrup in, Darren. And he's like, you're not getting them. And I'm like, fine. So kitchen is the one thing that I really struggle with decluttering is because in my mind, I'm like, I know I use that for a specific thing. I use that once a year, but I use it.
Absolutely.
And it's like, but I could use it. I could make this. I could do this with it. So the kitchen is the one thing that I really struggle with decluttering and getting rid of anything.
I know you kind of mentioned the word hoarder before. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Yeah, no, I'm not a hoarder. Not
like that. No. It's just more, do you keep items that have value or worth? Do you have a system?
I think I struggle with getting rid of things that were definitely a lot of money, especially things that you can't resell for the same amount of money. Like I've got some pots and pans in my kitchen that cost me $800 when we bought it, a set of it. Yeah, I was ridiculous when we first moved out. This was when I was still in hospitality, okay, so it's understandable.
How old were you when you moved out of home with Izzy and your husband?
18?
Yeah,
we moved out at 18.
And you had to start from scratch?
Pretty much,
buy everything.
Yeah, we actually planned beforehand, so we knew that we're getting ready to move out, so we would go to the shops on our days off and we would buy cutlery and would buy ice cube things to freeze and would buy like a plate set and would buy bed linen and towels. So luckily we had months to plan for it and prepare for it. We just didn't go, okay, yeah, we're moving out in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So we're lucky in that sense. But yeah, we had to buy everything.
Yeah. Did you find it a big shock going from living, where having your mum at home as well, to being on your own?
Not so much, because before we moved out, I was actually living with my dad. So, like, my parents are separated, and throughout this time, so this actually goes back to when I had depression. So, when me and my mum were living together, and Darren, like, all of us were all living together in a house that she rented, I just wasn't mentally in a good place, and for some reason, I just started to resent my mum. I had no reason for it whatsoever, but just I was depressed. I wasn't in a good place mentally. And as soon as she would walk in, me and her would start fighting.
Yeah.
Oh, this isn't good. This isn't healthy for us. I don't want to ruin our relationship. So I called up dad and I said, hey, like, I need to get away from mum. Like, me and mum aren't working out right now. It's nothing that she's done. It's just I'm in a bad place. So then we moved in with my dad, which helped mine and my mom's relationship. So then we're living with dad, my brother, my sister, Darren, like there was a whole family there. And then it got to the point where everyone was starting to partner off with their partners and everyone was like, oh, I think I want to move out. So that's when we all started preparing for it. But I actually found it really easy from going to living with like my parents to living on my own, because even though I was living with my parents, they didn't do anything for me. I still did everything.
Yeah.
So it was just the matter of like the house was quieter, which I loved.
Yeah, absolutely. So when are you guys trying to be debt-free?
Yes.
What's your...
So actually, really exciting thing. I actually haven't announced this yet. We've actually paid off our Subaru. We paid it off about 3 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
It was kind of at a bad time. I had some things going on personally and I didn't feel like it was the right time to like, because my granddad passed. I didn't feel like it was right to be mourning him, but turn around and be like, yay, like I'm debt-free, but I'm still mourning. So I hadn't shared that with anyone yet, but yeah, our Subaru is paid off.
Oh, good on you, girl.
The only debt that we have is the Swift, which will be paid off in like 7 months. And then during all of this, we are still saving for our house.
Oh my goodness. So what's your goals with your house?
Oh my God. It's going to be big and it's going to be beautiful.
When it comes to like saving up for it.
So we have a certain, we have a certain deposit in mind. We want to have at least $100,000 deposit.
Yeah.
While saying that, if land came available before we had that, we would go forward and move with it. But we're really, really hoping to at least have a $100,000 deposit for it. And like we've spoken to our mortgage broker, we've had a few different scenarios with him, and that's pretty much right on point for what financially where we want to go and how we're going through with it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So how close are you?
So because
we disclose amount, but just
I disclose it on Instagram. So because we were for a few months there, we were more focusing all of our money to go into the Subaru because we're so little. And then there's been a few family emergencies which I haven't shared about. So I have lent some money to my family, but at the moment we're only sitting on about $43,000 in our savings, which I'm not. Like, I'm so fine with that because we've, in the last maybe 3 months, we've put, like, I think $6,000, onto debt as well. So
yeah.
We're still so over the moon and happy about that.
How do you think are you – because I know a few people who are in, the DFC that want to consistently be in a rental property. They don't actually want to jump into the mortgage. How do you think you're going to go with that?
I'm going to love it. So we've always rented. The last time that we were in a house that was owned was when I was in primary school. My dad and when my parents separated, they had to sell their house. That was the last time I'd ever been in a house that has been owned.
Yeah.
And I just hate dealing with real estate.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass. I hate being like, hi, can I get permission to hang a photo? It's like, hi, can I get permission to do this? And then sometimes you have issues with real estate and the inspections all the time. It's like, I don't want to have to deal with any of that crap anymore. And that's probably the biggest reason why we've turned around and said, you know what, let's do it. I want to be able to decorate the house. I want a house to look like this. I want this layout. So
are you guys going to design your house yourself, or are you doing the house and land package?
we're going around and looking at a lot of houses. So we're just going to go with a design that's already been built.
Yeah.
But we have a very set idea in our mind of what the layout is. So beautiful. We've narrowed it down to like three houses.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as we're kind of concluding this podcast episode, before I get to my fast five, we have this little bit of self-care,
mm-hmm.
which I love to know about you, because self-care is really important for all of us,
mm-hmm.
especially when we're taking care of everyone else. We need mm-hmm. to make sure we take care of ourselves. So how do you begin your day? What motivates you? When you wake up, what's that motivation?
I just need to get motivated to get dressed for work.
Yeah.
I just need to get up and tackle the day and start getting ready for it.
What time do you wake up?
7.
Yeah.
Okay. Morning. I'm a really, really light sleeper, so yeah. I won't get out of bed until 7 o'clock, but I could wake up at like 4:30 and just doze all morning, but I won't leave the bed before 7.
What time do you go to bed?
Yeah, that varies too.
Yeah.
I, again, have a lot of trouble falling asleep, so it's anywhere from like 10:30 to 1.
Wow. So what do you do? Anything in particular to help you get to sleep? Reading or blank?
No, reading will keep me up.
Yeah.
I was taking like natural sleep medication, but it just wasn't doing anything for me. So I just stopped taking it and I just, yeah, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah. So 7 o'clock in the morning is when you start your day. Mm-hmm. You just get up, get ready for work.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do throughout your day that helps you maintain motivated just to keep on going?
You just
do it?
Yeah, just... it's got to get done, so I just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing that I specifically do or think or say. It's just, it has to get done, so yeah. I do it.
Do you schedule your days? Do you have like a diary where there's all this information that needs to be put into the week?
So I actually try to do like the big planner diary.
Yeah.
I thought I'd love it. Like I tried to do it last year and I thought I would love it, but it's just so much work and I was not a fan of it. So I have like a work diary to keep like my appointments going and like what my work day is like, but on the days where I'm not working, I don't have any schedule.
I find it can be a lot of pressure.
It really is.
Because if you don't see that white space, you then think, oh wait, well, I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And you just got to keep on jumping and jumping and jumping. Mm-hmm. So it's good to have like a work diary, because obviously that's work, that's an income.
Yeah.
But when it comes to running of the home, there's a happy medium with that.
I also don't feel like I'm busy enough for it. Like if I had 4 kids and all of them had like an after school activity and then they had like at different schools and then I had to do this and my husband had to do this, then yeah, okay, well, totally makes sense to keep schedule of it. I don't need that. So I just found that when I did try to have the planner and the diary, it was just overwhelming because I always had to be like, oh, I have to do this. I have to fill out this. And then on the days, it was like, Tuesday to Saturday, it was just work, 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 work. And then Sunday, it's Monday. It's like, well, they're my days off. I don't want to do anything. And it's like, there's nothing going in this diary.
So what do you do on your days off then?
Okay, it really depends if Darren's working, if Isabel's got plans with her friends, and what the weather's like.
Yeah.
If Darren's working and Izzy's out with her friends, most of the time I'm just in my pajamas watching
like Netflix,
The Good Doctor, or my 600 Pound Life. I'm watching TV.
That's your cup. That's how you
Or eat. I'm reading. That's it.
Yep. Do you do anything special, like aesthetically for you, hair, makeup? Do you do anything, your own nails? What do you do?
Yeah, so I do my own nails. I tend to do them like every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Perk of being a nail tech, not having to pay for it. And then I like doing my hair and makeup.
Yeah.
I like putting that effort in.
Yeah. Always showing up.
I feel like it's probably like a very old fashioned thing and a lot of women tend to like get offended over this, but I like looking good for Darren.
Yeah.
And like if we went to the shops and there was one of his work colleagues, I want to look good for him. And Do you know what I mean?
I
love doing my hair and makeup. That's pretty much what I do every single morning.
Yeah.
I love doing my hair and makeup.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a makeup artist. I just chose to do nails instead.
You can do both. There's lots of time.
Oh god, I don't actually like doing makeup on other people.
Yeah.
You kind of have to like that to be a makeup artist. So I just like doing it on myself.
Yeah. All right. So As we conclude this interview, I obviously have my fast five questions that I'm asking everyone, which tend to sometimes be fast, but they're not so much.
I'll try to be fast. I'm not going to be out. Let's
go. I'm happy. We just, like, yeah, inquisitive. So what is the easiest midweek meal either you or your partner cook? Easiest, fastest, what is it?
Okay, well, if Isabel's home nagging me, it's going to be spicy chicken wings. I think everyone has seen that on my Instagram like 10 million times. If it's not that, it's going to be nachos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you make your nachos?
I tend to do it different every time. Like I do, yeah. I always do it with different meats, either with like just the traditional taco mince or like I do it with pulled pork or I'll do it with pulled beef, layer it with the meat, cheese, put it in the oven, and then when it comes out, I will put heaps of sour cream and avocado. I'll put heaps of lettuce, tomato, and like fresh onions, so that way it's nice and fresh.
Yeah, I think I might. Hopefully, no one hates me for this, but I started doing that. But I added in some pineapple.
No, that's disgusting. Oh, shame on you. No,
I love my jalapenos too. So oh, yeah. It just balances
smothered
it
in
out.
Jalapenos. It's so good. No.
What about so the wings? For those people who haven't seen, how do you make them, or what happened? What
So it's actually from my mum and stepdad's butcher shop. They have buffalo chicken wings, and it is Isabel's favorite food. Like my mum will bring out 5-6 kilos at one go. So I freeze it. I literally have 4 kilos in my freezer right now.
Yeah.
And it's just, I literally put them on the tray, put them in the oven. I always have it with chicken rice, and I always have it with carrots, raw carrots and cheese.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yum. Mm-hmm. Does she make the sauce herself as well?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
So sorry, I can't give it. Everyone always asks for the recipe, and I'm like, sorry, guys.
I tried, okay? All right, what is your number one money saving tip that you've ever experienced or ever implemented in your home?
I think the easiest one is ask yourself if you really need it.
Yeah.
Do you need to spend the money on this item, whatever it is? Can you find a cheaper version of it?
Have you ever slept on something in inverted commas? You just always think about it beforehand. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What would be one of the easiest activities that you would do, especially when probably when Izzy was younger, when you needed to get out of the house, especially when you weren't driving? Mm-hmm. Do you remember an activity or something that you did just to get out of the house?
So when I wasn't driving, when she was quite young, we lived really close to a park that had a little like a little pond, and there was heaps of ducks and like all the fish in there. So we would go down and kill some time down there, take some lunch down there, and just have like a little picnic and throw food to the ducks.
Yeah.
And then as she got older, we would always go to like what's it called? Like the play maze. Play maze.
Indoor play center. Yeah.
And would normally take like her cousin, and like they would go off and play, and me and Darren would just sit there and share like a muffin and a hot chocolate and coffee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next is an either or question, which I don't know the answer to actually. Is early mornings or late nights?
Yeah, I'm both.
You're both, yeah.
I don't want to be either, but I'm both. I'm both.
What stops you? So you said before how you wake up at 4:30 in the morning, but you kind of doze in between 7 o'clock. What stops you from actually up and at 4:30 and being, inverted commas, productive?
No, just it's still dark. If it's dark, I should be asleep.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm not, because I'm such a light sleeper and I have such a hard time sleeping. I have for close to 2 years especially now.
Mm.
It's just like, no, I'll just lay here and I'll try to go back to sleep. And you wake up 10 minutes later, it's like, I'm going to try to go back to sleep. And it's like, I want to have a normal sleep routine.
Yeah.
And then if I did get up at 4:30 and I started doing my entire day, I would get tired earlier on. But I would not be able to sleep earlier on. Yeah. I've been there and I've done it.
Yeah. Do you drink caffeine?
Nope.
I knew that about you, but I didn't know what everyone else did about it. And last question is, how do you fill up your cup? What is that one thing, beautiful Jess, that you do that is for you?
Read. Yeah. I read a lot. People are actually shocked at the amount of how much I read.
Who's your favorite author?
Oh, don't ask me that. I have so many for so many different genres.
Yeah.
I'd say my two favorite. I don't have two. No, I can't do it. I love reading everything. Like you were just looking at my bookcase. Yeah. Like I've got so many cookbooks.
It's very diverse. It's beautiful.
It's not even like a romance book, like crime book, biography, whatever. Like I'll go read a cookbook. Like I read everything.
So when you read a book then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you then dispose of it or do you pay it forward? What do you do?
If they're books that I won't reuse,
yeah.
I'll pay it forward. There's actually at one of my local shopping centres, there's a little book library where yeah. you can hang your book up. So yeah. I'll go put them there. The books that I know I'll reread, I will keep. But a lot of them I download and use on my Kindle.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of my podcast. You're beautiful. You Stop really it. Are. I just love how everyone has something different to and positive and welcoming to share. So mm-hmm. thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Wasn't she just amazing? Now, if there is someone which you know will get so much benefit from listening to this episode, please share it with them. It is very easy. And also, we would love it if you were to give it a 5-star review on your listening broadcaster, because it just what makes all the difference. I would like to thank Jessica once again, and thank you all for listening. Bye for now.